young wizards and witches sometimes try to suppress their magic to avoid persecution. So instead of learning to harness or to control their powers, they develop what was called an obscurus.
It's an unstable, uncontrollable dark force that busts out and attacks.
Greetings and well met, travelers. You have found your way to Dragonreel, a magical journey to the realm of fantasy movies.
Welcome back to the Dragonreel podcast. This is a very special episode number 20, where we are going to talk about fantastic beasts and where to find them. And here I am, proving once again that most British screenwriters seem to think that New York is the capital of the U.S. I'm Chris. And over there in chair number two, she can read my mind any day. It's Sharon.
Hey, honey. Would you like to have some tarts with me after the podcast in our bedroom?
Oh, tarts in the bedroom? Do you want ants? Because that's how you get ants.
Is that how we get ants, Barry? That's how we get ants, Barry.
In chair number three, his skull is, quite unfortunately, susceptible to breakage under extreme force. It's Pete.
And that's, my friend, is why I wear a helmet.
Well, you should.
You know, if you're looking for a fantastic beast, I know where to find one. Meow.
You know, Fantastic Beasts was actually the name of my pop band in the 80s.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you know how many times you've said that on the podcast, that that was the name of your band in college?
That's one of those great meme jokes, because, you know, like, the first album was Sock Monster, or Trouser Snake, or something like that.
Yeah, there you go. Totally. I don't even remember. So we actually saw Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them today.
Wow.
I'm actually going by the I'm using the emphasis in the movie poster.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And mine had audio description.
Nice.
For part of it.
Yes.
Did that work through the whole thing, I take it?
Well, it didn't work for the first 5 minutes, so Chris was doing the audio description in my ear, and then he reset a button, and then it worked. So for clarification purposes, if you're listening to our podcast for the first time, I am blind, and when I go to the movies, I need the special earphones that do the audio description, so it's actually narrating the physical movement on the screen. I just thought I should say that so that our listeners know. Okay. Now that we have all of that.
So let's talk about this movie.
Yeah, absolutely.
So Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them is a new addition to the Harry Potter universe.
The Potterverse.
I think it's also going to be its own trilogy, too. So you don't
series, actually. There's five of them coming.
Oh, five. Yeah, okay.
Four of them coming. Five
Good
of them
to know.
Yes. See, we learned something new today.
Yes.
But I think it can also stand alone, too.
There's a problem with this movie, though.
What's that?
Well, there is a book out called Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them.
Yes.
But it is not this.
No.
But aren't the creatures the same?
No, it's not. Well, I'm sure there are some that are mentioned in the book, but the book that is out in publication today called Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them is like an in-universe textbook from the Harry Potter franchise.
Right, it was released as a means to get donations for. I'm drawing a blank on what the.
Okay. So we actually had a copy. I don't even remember cracking the spine on it.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Comic Relief. She wrote it for Comic Relief. Sorry.
So this is a Harry Potter story that doesn't have a novel preceding it.
There you go.
Unlike the rest of the Harry Potter movies.
Well, apparently elements of it did appear on the website Pottermore. So.
Tell me.
Oh, like the Ilvermorny, the American Wizarding School and its houses and you know, some of the other critters and some of the historical people mentioned are all on part of Pottermore.
And they had some cute lines in the movie about that. They were saying which school was the best. Was it the American school? And of course the Newt? Is that his
Newt.
Name? Newt says it's Hogwarts is the better school, of course.
It's Hogwarts?
What did I say?
Oh, my old friend Hogwarts.
No, Hoggle. Hoggle.
Hedgewort.
That was our last movie.
Yeah, you should have been here, man.
So
I
did, I
showed my support.
You did.
I'm going to start out by saying I liked it. There were a couple parts, though, that I didn't understand. So
there were a few WTF parts.
Didn't understand.
Before we leap completely into that, can we give an overview of what the movie's about?
I think you should do that, please.
So here we are in our own universe. Here we are 5 years after the release of the last of the Harry Potter books, movies, rather.
Yes.
And J.K. Rowling took a terrible risk that she might get into the danger of earning billions more dollars.
She really
by capitalizing on the franchise that is still pretty hot. So it feels kind of like, hey, we've got this hot property that we could potentially make more money off of. Let's put this thing out. But then it comes out as this movie, and it's kind of not bad.
Yeah.
Wasn't bad at all.
Although apparently it does have a few WTF moments.
Right. I mean, there's issues.
And essentially the condensed explanation is that you have a magical researcher from Hogwarts named Newt Scamander who has traveled the world picking things up.
Who is mentioned in the other Harry Potter.
Right. It, as a matter of fact, his book is mentioned when Hagrid takes over the care of magical creatures.
Right. It is a text. His textbook that he's going to write is the book they study in the
right.
other books.
Yes. So he's been traveling around the world studying things in situ and collecting them in his suitcase of holding. And he comes to New York to buy a critter that is rare and, well, quite frankly, illegal. And then, unfortunately, due to a series of unfortunate events.
That's a different franchise.
Coming into Netflix. Some of the critters escape. This happens to coincide perfectly with a bad situation occurring in New York City in which some sort of magical force is terrorizing the locals. And as it takes place in 1927, in the lovely Roaring Twenties, prior to the stock market crash, we get to see a lot of really cool Art Deco stuff and neat automobiles. And then we get to meet the American version of all the Harry Potter bureaucracy and stuff.
I liked that. I thought that
and,
was neat.
Oh, and
let me stop you now, Pete,
yes.
for 1 second,
mm-hmm.
okay? Because I have to issue a warning to our listeners.
Oh, there will be spoilers. Oh.
We are getting deep into spoiler territory.
Fair enough.
So if you have not seen the movie,
don't listen
and
to the rest of this.
You do
podcast.
Not want to hear spoilers. Pause this podcast. Go to the theater now. Watch the movie. Get out of the movie.
Come back.
Get back to your car. And take it off pause now.
Great. So now since you've seen it.
Okay. Go on.
So.
Now that we've all seen the movie.
Newt befriends a nomad or muggle. They have various misadventures. And ultimately, in the end, Bob's your uncle. Or maybe it's Johnny Depp. I can't decide which. Anyway.
Oh, yeah. I forgot to tell Sharon. Johnny Depp is the reveal at the end.
Yeah, he's the big twist.
He's the guy whose name I can't remember that they teased in the original books.
Oh.
Oh, Grindelwald.
Grindelwald, yeah.
He just shows up at the end?
I can't say they teased him in the original book. He's the reason everything goes badly.
Oh. Okay. So back to my question.
Wasn't Grindelwald the one that Albus Dumbledore had a little prefer with?
Yeah, they were. So, yeah, you find out in the... do you actually find out in the books, or was it something J.K. Rowling said after?
No, I think you'd actually find that out in the books.
Okay.
Well, no, okay, so they're very chummy. It's later that she admits that, yes, they are actually a couple.
Okay.
Which apparently caused a big hoo-ha, which I still fail to see what the big hoo-ha is. So.
Right. So Grindelwald is the person who is basically the Slytherin archetype of, it's the place of wizards to rule over muggles.
Yes.
With them knowing it.
Yes. So if you want to be, guaranteed that you're going to be a bad guy forever, with one or two exceptions, then please join Slytherin House.
Right. And Grindelwald is the Palpatine to Voldemort's Vader.
Yes.
Good analogy. So back to my question about the scene in the newspaper. I didn't understand the point of it. Does anybody
the publisher and the whole political family angle was, in my opinion, wasted?
I have a curious feeling this is going to come into play later.
That's what Chris is hoping. So,
because Sharon and I both came out of the movie. Sharon and I were both like, what was that whole family for? And if they don't show up in later movies,
The new Sailor Moon movie or the publishing family?
The publishing family,
I have a very strong feeling, is going to show up in the future.
Well, I kind of hope they do, because if they didn't, then really the whole purpose of that entire side plot is to give us someone that we hate. Right, that we hate enough that we don't mind that the monster kills him.
Well, I don't mind if characters get killed in movies anyway. I mean, that's kind of what they're there for. Did I say that out loud? What I meant to say was...
But they set people up to die in movies, and you have to hate them first.
Oh, okay. Unless you love them or they're a sidekick and you're meant to feel the loss when they die.
Right.
So I thought the mother of the children in the... I guess it was maybe
the
orphanage.
The leader of New Sailors, is that what you're saying?
I thought she was creepy as hell, and I was glad...
It's because it's cult.
Okay, so I was like, how come she's so calm? That seems abnormally calm to me. No one
would... 1920s, probably she's smoking the reefer.
I have no idea, but it went in a very dark direction with her beating the... I guess Harry Potter went in a dark direction, too.
It's child abuse is a constant theme in the J.K. Rowling universe.
With him under the stairs and them just not loving him and him getting...
Well, plus you hear, like, Tom Riddle was mistreated as well by his...
Right.
You know,
right. Yes.
Forebears and whatnot.
So she definitely goes in directions that you wouldn't really expect in a children's story.
I don't think this is a children's story.
I don't think this one's necessarily a children's story.
There were kids.
I also think that if you look at the works of Roald Dahl and a few other people, that you know, mistreatment of children is not unusual in a fantasy setting.
You are absolutely right. And
so,
was that the writer of Matilda as well?
Yes,
it is.
Mm-hmm.
James and the Giant Peach.
Mm-hmm. Same.
Gotcha.
Willy Wonka on the Chocolate Factory?
Yes.
Or Willy Wonka on the Great Galactic Elevator, Charlie on the Chocolate Factory?
And I actually
right.
love all those stories. So maybe the,
as do I.
the layers of depth make it a better story, possibly.
That could very well be, but the other thing is that it gives you the urge to indulge in the fantasy more, I feel.
I have
more
to say I agree.
Escapism, yeah.
I would agree with you. I think that's one of the things that I noticed for adults was definitely the character of Queenie that, come on, totally Marilyn Monroe, don't you think?
Absolutely, 100%. That is Marilyn Monroe straight out of Gentlemen Prefer Blondes.
No,
we
sorry.
Watched,
disagree.
What? You disagree?
She's totally Lucille Ball if it's 1927.
Oh, honey.
No, the character that she's
Come
doing
on.
Is almost
she's
exactly
she's
the same character that Monroe
she's
plays.
Even, she's even got that little up-pitched squeal.
Yeah. Okay, here's Monroe.
Do you feel better?
You little angel. You don't even know that there is a certain kind of girl that would take advantage of a thing like this.
She'd have to be a pretty terrible girl to be mean to a sweet, intelligent, generous man like you, Piggy.
And here's Queenie.
Oh, you need to sit down, honey. He hasn't eaten anything all day. And, oh, that's rough. He didn't get the money he wanted for his bakery. You bake, honey?
Did she do the wiggle walk, too? Because that
oh God,
was
yes.
definitely... She did.
Oh, yeah.
Did they show that?
Briefly, as she's leaving at one point, she's got the... She knows how to walk in heels. So she's got that sway to her hips as she moves.
Okay.
And then,
I think that answers
she,
the question, then.
So she as she's trying to leave quietly with Newt's suitcase, in which both Newt and Kowalski are currently residing...
And the man calls her.
The boss stops her. She says, I don't feel well.
Right. Which reminded me of Fight Club, by the way.
Oh, yeah. No.
Because he just gives that...
At any time Queenie was in the movie... Mm-hmm. On screen,
yep.
Loved it totally.
Oh, she was a sweetheart.
She just I don't know. She just
so I don't recognize this actress from anything.
I bet you will now from
the girl
this
who
point
played
on.
Queenie?
I will now, yeah. So she's got more soundtrack credits than she does actual screen credits.
Interesting.
What did you gentlemen think of the scene where they were having dinner when she was making the meal for everyone?
I think that guy never had a chance.
Never had a chance.
He totally didn't have a chance. The minute the strudel came out, forget about it.
Forget
Kowalski
about
was
it.
Nervous, baby.
Kowalski was, yeah, in the palm of her hand.
And I love the mind-reading
around her finger.
Power where I thought that added. And we have, and that was a new thing. We hadn't seen that.
Somebody who was inherently powerful enough to read minds. No, we hadn't.
So I loved that touch.
That is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Also, when she was told not to do it, and later in the movie, she's told not to do it by Newt, and he's really upset,
mm-hmm.
Maybe thinking about his past.
She's told not to do what?
She's told not to read his mind.
He asks her,
he says, please don't do that. And
she
said, I'm sorry, honey, I can't help it.
The woman that he's in love with is apparently related to somebody who is later...
She's part of the Lestrange crew.
Well,
you find Bellatrix Lestrange later on in the Harry Potter book.
But I don't think he's currently in love with her. He was just... It was in the past.
Right.
And it was somebody whom he pined for, I feel.
Yes.
Right. It's the Lily to his Snape.
Yeah, there you go.
Yes. Although I don't think Snape ever loved anyone else after Lily. I think that love stayed... I think that Lily...
That's because Snape was a really poorly written character. That's all I can say.
No, he was not. I loved Snape as the books and the movies went on. And I wish that they would have done even more with him and... you know, Alan Rickman, is that right?
Yeah.
I love him, too.
Yeah, unfortunately, we won't be seeing too much of him.
Yeah. Right after Bowie, it was him.
Yeah. Balls.
Sad.
Yeah.
Sadness. Cry. Tears.
Sadness.
Indeed. Can we talk about the leads first?
Sure.
And move on. What did you guys think of Marius?
Are you
Eddie Redmayne, who was Marius. He was Marius in the Les Miserables Gala of Faces.
Okay, we know that you hate that movie, Chris, but could you tell us who he was, please, in this movie so that everyone knows
he was Newt. He was Newt. I liked Eddie Redmayne as Newt. The thing that I liked especially about him was the physicality that he brought to it.
Absolutely.
So, I thought he had part of the character.
Yeah, he made this character out of his facial expressions and goofy hair.
Yes, and the way he held his body, because obviously he's wounded, you know?
So, for the blind person, could you guys just elaborate a little bit more on what you mean?
So, there are actors whom, when they portray a character, fully embrace the physicality of the character. For example, if you're doing Richard III, you have to get the hunchback, you know? You have to get that kind of that little bit of a lisp, that somewhat gnarled hand going.
Sure.
Okay. So, and it's the same thing kind of with Newt. Newt doesn't stand straight. He doesn't face anything on squarely. He's a little bit canted. He's a little bit slanted forward. He doesn't really look a lot of people in the eye.
Ah, that makes so
like
much
that.
More
so
sense
he's,
to me. The lines that he had with the popular guy. Okay, now I get what you're saying. So
okay.
I missed that visually. But you were saying that he had that quality. He had it. For that character, he played a nerdy...
He encompassed what Newt was all about, you know. And you can, like I said, you could tell he even walked with a limp. You know, you could tell that his work was dangerous and that he had been injured prior to it and that he wasn't comfortable around other people.
And Chris, you agree with that?
I think, I don't even have anything more accurate to say because I think Pete just nailed it, you know.
So
that's exactly what I thought. I mean, I actually didn't notice his limp, so you caught more of his performance than I did, but I thought he was perfect.
Because when I was listening to it, I didn't get the romance visually. Okay, how do I explain this? So when I was just listening to it, I really got the romance between the secondary characters more than the primary characters. But if what you guys are saying is that so I didn't know he was supposed to be really nerdy and withdrawn. I didn't know that. So now
I thought that came across in his speech mannerisms also, that he's a very clipped way of speaking,
mm-hmm.
you know, and stuff like that. But I thought
now
that
you're saying it explains
that really well.
You know, it explains mm-hmm. more for me, and now I understand the...
I kind of felt the romance was kind of told in the fact that they were both... It was kind of romantic, mm-hmm. but they were both too nerdy and...
Uptight people, really.
Right.
Is what it comes down to.
Who just couldn't say, hey, I kind of like you. You know, they're both the kind of people who would miss all of the signs of such things while simultaneously pining for that person.
Right. And then you've got Dan Fogler, who, the minute, like, he sees Queenie, he's struck.
Yeah.
You know, she's obviously a looker to him. And then when she can magically create strudel in front of him... Forget about it.
Oh yeah,
he was gone. He was totally gone. And she was on board too because he's a giver. You know, he's a guy who nurtures and likes to cook and you know is wears his heart on his sleeve.
So let's just talk about the two romances for a minute.
The other lead was what's her name? Catherine Watterson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
who's got this sort of Mira Sorvino look about her.
She's got kind of that wide-eyed look that isn't innocent. It's wide-eyed as in, maybe I should say something here, or, okay, I just caught on to what that was, but I don't know what to say about it.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
And it just reminds me of Mira Sorvino. I don't know why, if it's like the facial expressions, if it's, you know, her eyes or nose or whatever, mm-hmm. but just, that's what struck me about
her.
No,
I could see that.
So at the end, when he's getting on the boat, when Newt's getting on the boat,
mm-hmm.
we know that they're going to have a, quote, relationship. And I really like, because he said, no, what? What did
I like the way you say
what
it.
What did I
quote
say?
Quote relationship.
I don't know.
Quote relationship.
Nudge, nudge, wink, wink.
Wink, wink.
If you know what I mean.
And,
hey,
and
why,
don't
you,
think you
why
do.
Did you apparate up to my cabin?
Well, I love how he says it's so. It was so cute. Because I was crying at the end when they had to erase the guy's memory and... Chris, did you see me weeping copiously?
Yeah, I did, and I was actually surprised that you were so emotional about it.
What?
Because I didn't think that was a real tearjerker of a moment.
I thought it was horrible. I was really there with them. I really believed the romance between the two of them, and when they said that they would have to, I can't remember the word for when they erase your memory, but, you know, do the little blinky thing. Operate?
No.
Obliterate?
No.
Obliterate?
Obliterate. There you go.
That's close
okay,
enough.
Okay, well, when they, you know, when they do the little blinky thing to him.
Yeah, the flashy,
the flashy
thing.
When they do the little Men in Black flashy thing to him.
Yes, I
right.
love that one too. But I was weeping. I was just because he wouldn't remember magic and he wouldn't remember her. And I kept thinking, well, what if he gets the donut shop or the bakery, and mm-hmm. then she could just, there were no rules about her going in to the bakery at the end of the movie, and
right,
then
exactly.
ding, 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 that's what happens, and I'm mm-hmm. weeping, but I'm smiling at the same time when it ends, and I'm a sucker for happy endings.
So these two, is those two characters, is that the B romance, or is that the A romance of the movie?
You see, that's a tough call, because it was so strong, and it came out of the gate so strong, I would call that the A romance.
But they balanced each other. So you could argue on both sides. I liked it when those two were on screen.
I did, too. I thought they were fantastic.
And you're really rooting for them. So
very much so.
I don't know who was the A and who was the B, but I don't think it doesn't even matter because...
But I also think that the reason, the fact that it works with them being the A romance and not between Tina and Newt initially is because it... focuses so well on the way their characters are presented anyway.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, and the way to round out the characters, the way to let them grow is that these guys are going to embrace that aspect of life a little more fully than their nerdier, faltering stepped, you know, friends or family members, you know.
Got you.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, considering this is a first time out as a screenplay, that's not a bad screenplay. I mean, it's not one of those things that I felt like it was hit with a lot of stuff that was unusual and I couldn't call a bunch of stuff, but, mm-hmm. you know, it was character-wise for the good guys, I thought it was fairly solid.
I, for some reason, the stuff with the president, and you guys are both going to be shocked here, but it took me into like a Babylon 5 place. I don't know if anybody else went there. Maybe some of our listeners might say, oh, I sort of see what she's saying. In the fact that I didn't know whether the president was the good guy or the bad guy. I really had no idea. So, and usually I can call plots, like, this is what's going to happen next, and this is what's going to happen after that. And
yeah, but unfortunately for me, and it's an old saw of J.K. Rowling's, when you've got somebody named Graves on board, they're not going to be the hero.
No. I knew. I figured he was.
Plus, it's Colin Farrell, so he's going to be a bad guy.
Yeah, he's pretty much resigned to that.
I thought he was going to be the bad guy, but the president, I thought she was working with him at one point, and then I thought, wow, that would be pretty. Then America's just going to go evil for a while, and then I thought, well, maybe she's not in it, and then of course at the end. She wasn't.
Well, if it turns out later that she's not the Nazi sympathizer I thought she would be. No, I'm kidding. I'm just joking.
Oh.
I totally didn't mean that at all. And
oh, I get it. Okay.
So as far as, like, the government being in this movie, why would the Congress, the magical Congress of the United States of America, be headquartered in New York and not Washington, D.C.?
Well, why was the Hogwarts school so far north?
Yes, but they had to go to London to go to the Ministry of Magic.
I know, but what I'm saying, I guess, okay, so I guess the reason why it's in New York is because, well, New York's a much cooler place than D.C., I'm sorry. No.
It really is. No, it totally is. And it's just a, you know.
I'm thinking that probably what happened was it made its way south with age, is my opinion. I mean, I think it probably would have started out in the Massachusetts or, you know, Rhode Island colonies first.
My opinion is that J.K. Rowling didn't realize that Washington, D.C. was actually the seat of government of the U.S.
I don't know if that's necessarily fair, but if that's the case, why didn't she set in Philadelphia, which was the first?
Was
the first, you know, capital of the United States.
I just want to point out there was a female president.
They thought they were being prescient.
Yes, they did.
Or progressive.
But,
yeah.
Not to get into politics. they got me at another point too, that I think they were really setting us up to believe the little girl was the.
That was totally deliberate.
Yeah, she was the big old dangling red herring.
And that it was the boy.
The brother.
Uh-huh. Brother.
The quote unquote brother.
And so, I wanted more information. I feel that we did not get enough information about that woman. And there was a story there, and we got little pieces.
Apparently, the whole bare bones thing, you can find out more on Pottermore. So it was intended to be more of an interactive internet story situation going on. Apparently, the bare bones have had prior dealings with witches and wizards. I didn't get fully into it, but the fact is that, you know, I think that it's always appropriate, especially during times of peace, that somebody's going to be fear-mongering.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, that's the way that I looked at it, that this was clearly somebody, you know, this was a woman who felt that she had a calling and that she was going to fear-monger the hell out of it, so.
But also she beat her kids, too. So.
You know, I'm sorry, I know you said beat, but to. Over the headphones, it sounded like you said she'd also eat her kids.
No.
She might.
Which could be. I'm not going to deny that, but, yeah.
And I also thought it was done in an interesting manner. When I say interesting, I mean, I don't think I could have seen. With children in the audience, I would not have liked to seen actual. Yes. And, I mean, you definitely know what's happening. And I thought that was an artful way. Not that beatings could ever be done artful. I don't mean that. I just mean
No, but it
that,
was a tasteful way of addressing an uncomfortable and unfortunate
situation. Yes. And you definitely get, wow, this woman's totally crazy and totally evil. Although, really, is she crazy? Because witches are real.
She's crazy in and of the fact that her intolerance has completely consumed her.
Yes. Her hatred toward another race of people. Well, are witches another race?
It's tough because, you know, you do have squibs, you do have muggles. Or you do have squibs and you do have, what are the half-bloods other than mudbloods called?
I don't think there is another word.
Okay, so you have mudbloods and you have squibs, you know, so I don't see, you're playing genetic roulette anyway,
right.
Being a wizard from what I understand.
Right.
So.
His comic book bags are made of silk. Celebrities pay him for autographs. People want to hear him describe his RPG character. He is the most interesting fan in the world. I do not always listen to podcasts, but when I do, I listen to Slice of Sci-Fi. Stay geeky, my friends.
I think we have to also bring up the magical creatures, because that's what this movie is all about.
Excuse me, they're Fantastic Beasts?
Oh, I...
I gotta actually say,
were they great? Were they kind of okay? Were they beautiful?
I was actually a little disappointed.
I was
Chris
Thunderbird. I was really, really happy with the Thunderbird. But the other thing was that I kind of liked looking at this whole thing through Kowalski's eyes, because it really kind of added that moment of wonder again. You know?
Yeah. I think there were some places where they tried to give us that wonder and failed because of the, you know, there was a scene where he goes into the suitcase and there's the camera's like panning around, but it's going too fast.
Right.
And there are things I really wanted to look at.
No, I totally understand.
And they're just blurs on the screen, and I felt that was kind of lazy.
Oh, Chris, you know they couldn't afford the CGI for the whole suitcase. Come on, man. But I
think they might have overextended themselves with the CGI they had, because some of it just wasn't that great.
No, that's true, too. And why did they keep playing back to the moth is my big question. But I'd say that ultimately, though, that just, I don't know, getting the whole feel through Kowalski's eyes was kind of cool, especially when he said, I'm actually in a suitcase because, you know, I'm not smart enough to think all of this up kind of thing. You know?
I liked that line.
I thought that was lovely.
Yes.
Except now he is clever, or at least he thinks he is. Clever
well,
enough to think all that
but,
up.
But...
Where do you get these ideas? They just come to
here's
me.
Here's the question. At the end, was his mind truly erased?
It's hard to say. He's trying to tease that.
You have to see that, you know, in and of the fact that while his mind could be erased, his heart could not.
Oh!
Ooh, that's
neat.
That's layered.
I'm overclamped.
That's what I'm saying. Saying he felt the twinge, and the minute he saw her again, his breath was gone once more.
They were totally going to get together and go to the chapel. Oh, look.
They were totally going to get together and make some knotted breadsticks.
You know, and then they would be like the prototype for a sitcom that would show up 40 years later called Bewitched. A show about a witch.
No, but I don't think he wouldn't have objected to her doing magic, though.
Right.
Because he wasn't that type of guy.
Yeah, he wasn't the totally uptight alpha male from the Night Beholder.
Darren was kind of a jerk, really. Okay, but that leads.
We'll put that on
our
rotation.
That's going to lead me into my next pick.
Oh dear God, no! We're not going to do the Bewitched.
Yes,
movie.
We are.
I'm sorry, no, we are not. If I have to watch Nicole Kidman and Will Ferrell go through that one more time, I will personally drive down.
No, you had to do it too.
Wait a minute! Though. You're admitting that you've seen it.
Of course I've seen it. I've had girlfriends.
Oh.
I just don't happen to have one now.
Hear that, ladies?
Yep. I was just gonna make a so you too could get this.
So you too can sit through the
We'll have a sweepstakes.
Yes. You could have a bake off with Pete. I don't know why I said bake off.
We could make some knotted bread rolls.
Yes. Not
if you know
bread
what
I
mean. Wink.
I don't actually know what you mean.
Okay, I don't either.
So what was your favorite magical creature? I think mine was the creature that picked up all the gems and stored, you know, the gems.
You mean a platypus?
He wasn't a platypus.
Yeah,
he was one of those hedgehog mutations.
Yeah, a platypus.
No, it wasn't called a platypus.
Now the
hardcore Harry Potter
That was actually my first disappointment, was that if that magical creature looked too much like a platypus.
Oh, then we better call the ambulance for you.
So what was your favorite?
Well, to be fair, he did have a pouch, so he was a marsupial, so therefore he could have been a platypus.
Right.
What was your favorite magical beast, Chris?
Thunderbird.
Chris.
Oh, sorry.
Hey, yeah, not you. The platypus. No, I'm kidding.
My greatest disappointment was also my favorite animal.
All right.
For real, these guys.
I don't know. Let's recap them, shall we?
Sure.
There were a lot.
So there was the thing that just had, like, noodle face. It was like a noodle face rat
pig. That Ben Kowalski on the bit.
Yeah,
it was supposed to be, I think, it was supposed to be analogous to a star-nosed mole rat.
Okay.
Or star-nosed mole. Or mole.
I didn't
it looked like a naked mole rat and a star-nosed mole combined. Only bigger, like a capybara.
It was a noodle face bitey.
Right. And then there was the blue moth that looked really weird flying.
Yeah, that didn't...
There was the Thunderbird, which I adored.
Uh-huh.
There was sneaky things that looks kind of like Quetzalcoatl that apparently can...
Yeah, that's what I wondered. I thought they were going to call it that, but then they didn't. Yeah.
What about the creature that was wanting to mate with the guy?
You know, I liked the overall design of that, even though the glowing lumps on the head kind of bugged me a little bit. Mm. But not because they were badly done, just because I was like, what is that? What does that do? How does that move? How does that not fall over?
Mm. Well, it's magic, first off, so that's how...
Right.
So.
And that is the thing that was going under the ice, right?
I think so. Okay. That was my feel.
Okay. I like the ostrich that was free. That was my favorite. No, I'm kidding.
So let's say, I don't remember that part.
Yeah, well, yeah, they were going toward the place where the lion came from. And the, and
oh, right. There was an ostrich there, yes. So there was a fantastic...
Yeah. Spoiler. Ron Perlman was pretty fantastic.
Yeah, he was great as the house elf gangster.
Yeah, I don't even know how, but I like Ron Perlman is appearing in like everything I see nowadays.
It's because clearly you're obsessed with Ron Perlman, and that's okay. It's important to get in touch with these things.
You're just noticing him. That's all.
It's important, you know. Probably. Everybody has their time of experimentation, Chris, and this is clearly yours.
Well, at least it's not Gary Busey anymore.
Man, he's everywhere.
Yeah,
I liked the. This isn't a magical creature, but I liked the song that I liked the singer in the.
That was also a goblin. I think they were goblins, not house elves.
That's a tough call.
No, they say something about. Haven't you ever seen a house elf before?
Oh yeah, my uncle.
Yeah, but that's
house
the bartender.
The bartender.
So are they all house elves in there?
I don't. I mean, I guess he could be a goblin gangster. That would make just as much sense.
That's what I thought. But
what,
I could be wrong.
But
I'm willing to be wrong.
What was the singer though?
The same thing, whatever.
Oh, okay.
She might have been a goblin thing.
Yeah.
And what did the speakeasy look right to you guys? Did it?
Yeah, it looked cool.
1920.
I like the giant in the corner.
Yeah,
that was a nice touch.
Ogre? I can't remember.
I think it was a giant.
In the audio descriptive part, they said giant playing cards.
Okay.
Just to let you know. So
I just wanted the camera to linger on that guy a little longer because he was pretty cool.
And I wanted them to come back to him a couple of times, but they didn't.
Yeah.
So
yeah, my most terrifying creature that I saw was John Voight.
Well, it goes without saying.
Usually,
he hasn't aged well. He's a blonde, so he's not going to age well. Actors in Hollywood just don't age well.
The little flying thing sounded cool to me, but you guys said that it didn't sound cool to you.
Not that it didn't sound cool; it just didn't look all that spectacular. Given the amount of time screen time it got.
The thing stealing all the money. You know, I just thought it was funny, so I liked it for that reason.
Yeah,
that was funny.
It was funny when he shook it upside down.
Yeah.
That was also
stuff
funny.
Kept falling out. That was probably my favorite part with that animal.
One of my favorite parts about that was after he finished shaking it up and down and the police roll up, they're both covered in jewelry.
Right.
I thought that was wonderful.
Yeah. So, Pete, what was your favorite?
Animal?
Yes. I think he said
the Thunderbird was.
Now elaborate. That was the four-winged owl thing?
That was the four-winged hawk type thing.
Belonged in the Arizona desert.
The really funny thing about it was the fact that as soon as I saw it, I was like, oh, it's a Thunderbird.
Right.
And mind you, there was nobody there but my daughter Callista who doesn't speak, so she was duly unimpressed at the fact that I that sucker before it even showed up.
Yeah, I bet she was quietly amazed.
But I like the fact that, you know, as it flew around, it could summon the thunder. It could call storms, you know, and stuff like that. And I liked... I mean... I understand why they went with the four wings. I could have done it with just two wings and been just as happy. But overall, I just liked his look, and I liked his attitude.
Yeah, that was good. When he was interacting closely with it, I felt the scale was a little... It changed a bit.
Possibly. You might be right with that. But then again...
But other than that, yeah.
But then again, magic. So, you know, you never know.
Right, right. Yeah, the scale of the snake thing changed a lot. Mm.
What
on purpose.
What did he what were they feeding in the suitcase in that magical, you know, bag of holding thing?
What were they, how were they feeding the beasts, you're saying?
I'm saying what beast were they feeding? Cuz I
Oh, you know what? I
them.
Take it back. It was the things that they were feeding. That was my favorite thing.
Okay.
That looked like the they looked like predator animals. And they the family of four.
Yes. Yes, okay.
You know, months.
You got to realize it's been a couple weeks since I've seen this, so I'm
yeah,
crying on.
Sure. Well, we just saw it today.
I know.
So, Chris, what did they look like? Can you describe?
They looked like very bulky. They look like bison, but like bison that are predator animals.
Oh,
right.
Okay.
That had like a different texture, like a sort of a draconic-looking texture.
Oh, how neat is that?
Yeah, I wish that I could find a link for that so we could add it.
Maybe somebody will make miniatures, and then I could feel these creatures.
Oh,
that would be. That would be awesome. That would be
Yeah, I'm sure they'll show up for Christmas in the toy store. So.
Well, maybe somebody,
so. Should,
maybe
should
somebody listening to our podcast might say, oh my gosh, I'll take pity on the, I'll take pity on the blind podcaster and send her little tokens. Oh, but
wow.
We don't give out our address on the podcast.
No,
well,
we don't even have a PO box at this point.
Yeah, they could try to figure it out though. So, anyhow.
Right. They'll dox us.
Yeah, absolutely. What did you think of the fight in the subway?
The fight in the subway?
The fight in the subway.
I liked the wave effect that the I can't remember what it's called. What is it that the kid was?
Obscurus. Obscurtus. I can't remember.
I think it's an obscurus. Yeah. So
the shield that was surrounding the subway, or the thing that happened after.
When the obscurus first kind of explodes.
Oh yeah. Okay. Okay.
Subway, and that was really kind of cool. It was very, for me, and I'm sorry, but for me it was very visually engaging.
Okay.
So.
Okay. Here's another question.
I did like that as well.
You liked it.
Okay. And in fact, I liked it when it was holding still, and there were parts of it that seemed semi-solid, but not. Entirely?
Yes.
I thought that was probably the best visual that they had.
There are also times that you could see the kid within that.
Yes.
You know, you could see his head and shoulders sometimes, you know, sometimes his eyes, sometimes parts of his body, you know, stuff like that.
And I did hear that because of the audio description, and they said...
Yes, and that kid is the Flash, by the way.
Oh, really?
He's going to be the Flash in the movie.
Oh, okay, so that's not...
It is not Grant...
Gustafson.
Yeah, not him.
That's swell.
Neat.
Yeah, and one of my favorite parts of the movie was the Wonder Woman trailer.
Oh, there you go. Mine too.
Chris, that's not in the movie.
Except for one thing.
What's that?
I have a firm belief that Chris Pine makes everything worse.
Oh.
Chris really hates Chris Pine.
I see.
It's not that I hate Chris Pine, it's just that
you hate Chris
the
Pine.
Evidence has shown that everything he's in becomes a little worse when he's in it.
I disagree. I thought that...
Oh, you like him.
I thought that The Sphinx War was very entertaining, and I liked him in the most recent Star Trek.
Yeah,
oh,
not,
he's no William
like
Shatner. William Shatner will always be my one true love. No.
Well, at least you didn't set the bar very high.
No. I'm just going to say one more time that in my college class, I said he was the best actor ever, and people can mock me. No, it's okay. It's okay, because William Shatner is listening to this, you know.
I should have known it was coming. I just need to breathe it down, that's all.
I'm just saying, you know, I think there's a new acting method that should be out there. I think the director should say, honey, that's good, but could you Shatner it up a bit, just a little bit more? Don't you think people could use that? Like, Shatner it up a little bit?
I think that I would much rather Christopher Lee it up a little bit than to...
Stop trying to make Shatner happen.
Damn it. I just, you know...
Although if you could pull it off, it would be very fetch.
Yes.
Exactly.
I grew up with it, and I think we should bring back Star Trek, the original.
No.
Because it was the best.
It was really, really good, and it had its time. Let it go.
Just because doors open.
The king is gone, Topper. Let him go.
No. I can't.
Right after they continue Serenity. And...
No, they can't continue Serenity because they killed Wash.
Yeah, and Ron Glass died recently, so... Yes. Yeah.
Oh.
2016, why? Why?
It's really taken a beating. Put a beating on us. Yeah. Oh, how about that suitcase?
Suitcase was fun. I like the fact that it had a Four Muggles button on it.
Yes. I like the fact that... What's that?
That was neato.
Yes.
I heard it in the audio description, too, and I thought that was a very cool idea.
My favorite part of the suitcase was when Kowalski was trying to force himself and stuff himself down in it.
Yeah, and he has to
it was
up
lifting up off the ground.
Yes. That was very funny.
She's lifting up off the ground, and you could see under it, and that was, you know.
That was a lot of fun.
So it's kind of like a TARDIS. So, yeah, Newt's kind of like the doctor in this.
Yeah, he kind of is, only specializing in animals rather than
right.
saving yeah. people through time.
And he's got a kind of a doctorish, you know, cosmic hobo kind of look to him.
Yeah, and he's got the kind of awkward clipped timing, weight mm-hmm. speaking, you know, so.
And he's got a bow tie.
Oh, he does. It's true. And he's got a Hufflepuff scarf.
Does he really?
Yeah.
Oh
Scarfy
God,
wears his Hufflepuff because
I did not notice
he's,
that.
That was the other thing that made me happy was that she chose a hero that was not a Gryffindor.
Oh, there! Look at that in the poster. There it is.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. Excellent point.
Good eye. Good eye. Pete.
Nice eye for details. Yes,
thank
absolutely.
You.
Yes, sir. Anything else? The script. Well, the script was good. I mean, I thought. It was pretty solid.
Solid, not anything unusual or necessarily unexpected.
But as far as like the script goes, I can't think of a single line from the movie that would stick with me as like a quotable.
Yeah,
thing.
Unfortunately, that was the other thing. Other than the your skull is susceptible to breaking mm-hmm. under extreme immense pressure. So.
Well, guys, I think you need to wait a little bit of time before you say that because you never know. There could be. I mean,
stop trying to make Shatner happen.
No, wait a minute. And you know what? It's not true because I think. Stop it. Because what about the fire out of your anus line? Because that.
The fire out of your anus?
No. There was.
I think that is a slightly more severe reaction than I've seen. But if it was really serious, you'd have.
What?
Well, the first symptom would be flames out of his anus.
when she first said, "I work for the Magical Congress of the USA," and he said, "You work for MACUSA,"
mm-hmm.
I thought MACUSA was a person name.
I thought it was the president's name.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. And it wasn't until like nearly the end of the movie where somebody connected MACUSA with MCUSA.
No, because it has it on the seal. All the pertinent parts are capitalized, so it's like, oh, MACUSA,
right.
Gotcha.
And you know what? Thank you guys for explaining that because it was a visual, and I did not get that. So
it took me way too long to connect that. So I mean, don't feel bad about that at all.
Okay, I won't.
Well, you could feel a little bad.
Okay, then I will. So I was really scared with the whole assassinate the criminals thing because you're a traitor to the magical community. When they were gonna,
so you have to go through the goo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that was actually kind of really unsettling.
That's
true.
It was deeply unsettling.
It was very. And again, going back to the point of authors that go in a very dark, nightmarish sort of your worst fear. And this movie, there were some scary things in it. Like, I mean, where I was a little disturbed. Maybe because of the political situation right now. I don't know. But, you know, torture and memories and melting your whole body in acid. Because that was acid, right?
It wasn't acid. It was some kind of a goo that lets you relive pleasant times as it destroyed you.
Oh, my goodness gracious. But that's really terrifying to me. I don't know why, but it is.
Well, I mean, it is kind of terrifying. I'm not going to deny that. It's just that, for me, I don't know, I guess... You're a minority population who, you know, carries a power that other folks can't and or won't understand.
Right.
And that makes you a target. So the best thing you can do, unless you are willing to rule, is to hide. And for that, you have to make that illusion complete.
Hmm. I like the sort of, you know, jump and trust me.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was kind of...
The old jump and trust me.
Well, yeah, maybe a little cliche. Maybe a little bit, but I loved how Queenie got them out and mm-hmm. her little female wiles, you know, and and tricking the guy into and not just the boss, but the other guy, where she says that she knows that he has been dating this other person.
Mm-hmm.
And then she got the information.
Oh, that guy, yeah, because she read his mind.
Yes. Yeah. That was kind of awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I could tell that the soundtrack was not John Williams.
Because even though Chris of Horns?
Well, that's one reason.
Okay.
But, I mean, you could tell that it tried to make reference to the Harry Potter soundtrack without being the Harry Potter soundtrack.
Oh, gotcha. I see what you're saying.
Did you guys notice the score? Did it make an impression on you?
I like the music from... I like the music from the speakeasy. I thought that was perfect.
So the incidental music more than the score. I mean the on-screen music more than the score.
Yeah, the score didn't necessarily move me the way, you know, that some others have, but again, it was one of those things where while this is a good solid movie, well acted, well directed, good script, it's not something that's going to make me sit there and go, oh, "Yes, there's a second one." You know, so
right,
but I will see it. I don't think the music detracted from it. I was just trying to follow the story. I think that if I saw it for a second time, I might say, oh, yeah, I really... I mean, it worked very well for a fantasy movie, and that's what we talk about, so...
Sure.
I
mean, they went deep into, you know, into Hollywood territory to grab the composer of the scores of The Last Airbender and Green Lantern.
Jesus.
No, I'm picking the turkeys on this list.
Is that James Dean Howard? Is that who that guy is?
It is, yeah. I'm picking the turkeys on this list, but he's not. He's got a pretty impressive portfolio.
The Last Airbender and Green Lantern? Oh, my God.
Yes.
Wow.
I know, I'm terrible. Yeah, not only that, but Space Jam.
Whoa.
And Waterworld.
Interesting. So I will definitely go and see the next one. So.
Oh yeah, I am totally up for however many more of these they want to. And I'm kind of happy that there's not going to be books that are like preceding these, or at least I hope there's not going to be.
Me too. I honestly hope they stand on their own.
Yeah, and I think that so far they do, and they can also skip years. Like the Harry Potter books, they had to come out one a year.
Yeah.
Because otherwise those kids would be in their 30s.
100%, yes, they had to.
I also think that they need to kind of keep with the same sort of feel that this movie had, was to just, you know, maintain some of the stuff online. Keep, you know, part of them are updated and, you know, interesting and things like that. And then you can just draw from that wealth.
Uh-huh.
You know, you don't have to follow the framing of a novel.
There you go.
So,
that could work.
Yeah.
So, are we ready to rate this movie?
Sharon, I can tell that you're ready to rate this movie.
Yes.
So yes, we're ready to rate this movie.
Okay.
So on a scale of 1 to 5 gold pieces,
yes,
how do you rate Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them?
I am going to give it a solid 4.
Glad.
4 gold pieces. I don't even hesitate to give it the 4.
I thought you were going to say 5.
No, because for me, there were a couple things that I wanted more explanation, mm-hmm. and there were... the political stuff with the Shaw family. Do I have the right name, Shaw?
Yes, you do.
I just didn't...
The same name as the candidate in the Manchurian Candidate.
I just needed more of a tie-in to the plot or to something. I'm wondering if they're going to do something with these people for the second movie. I don't know exactly why they were there. So until
I think it's more or less the same thing with the Bare Bones family. I think it's because now that they've had some kind of, they've been affected in some way by it,
mm-hmm.
they're going to either embrace it or be opposed to it.
Mm-hmm. And Langdon, they seem to make Langdon very significant.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. So they have to do something with him, otherwise that whole side plot is wasted.
Right, and that's why I gave it a 4. Because if you have to depend on a second movie without making the character, without giving him a reason for being in the first one, then I just wanted to know, why is this person in this movie? What is their...
Star Wars!
I'm just saying, what was his purpose? That's all.
I get it.
His purpose was to be wide-eyed, innocent muggle and then die horribly in the second film.
Oh, I mean, that could be why. That definitely could be the reason. All right. We shall see in the future, but a solid 4, and even though I've rated... I give this movie a 4 for different reasons, because I know, Chris, you're going to always say, but you gave Excalibur a 4, and just different reasons. That's okay. My explanation.
You know what? I gave Mythica a 4 because of expectations.
So, Mr. Pete,
yes.
What would you rate this movie?
Would that be on a scale of 1 to 5 gold pieces?
1 to 5 gold pieces.
I would give it 3 gold and 8 silver.
Ooh.
I give it the solid 3 for everything that I mentioned before. I give it the 8 silver for not bringing something in that made me completely go wow when you had the opportunity to.
Okay.
Huh.
Sounds good.
Interesting. Different point of view than mine, but yet still valid. And Chris.
Yes, ma'am.
On a scale of 1 to 5 gold pieces, what would you rate this movie?
I will rate Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them as a 3 gold piece and 5 silver movie.
Wow.
Wow.
That's high praise indeed for you.
The same reasons that Sharon has said is that, you know, that side plot that didn't really sew anything up in this movie.
Right.
But why not a 4, Chris? Why not a 4?
Because there are other things. I felt that some of the CGI looked a little rushed, and they didn't really let me absorb as much visually as I wanted to.
Yeah, they needed to slow down in some of the scenes.
Yeah.
Well, I would be interested.
A little too pell-mell.
I would like to hear. We love getting comments from people.
We do.
Thanks, Joe, by the way.
Thanks, Joe. Shout out to someone who wrote in asking about our next movie, which we're going to do.
So if people want to write us comments, and if somebody rates this movie as a 5, I personally would love to hear your reasons why, because when we're talking about these things, we really want to know what your opinions are. So
plus, we're older and jaded. We need some kind of fresh input.
Right.
Yes. So whose pick is it next? What movie are we doing?
It's Joe's pick.
Joe's pick.
We're going to do The Flight of Dragons.
That's what we're doing.
Oh, okay. Well, I just have to end with, have fun, storm in the castle.
Thanks for staying with us to the end of the episode. If you enjoyed this show, please go to iTunes and or Stitcher and give us a good review. That'll let us know what you think and also help other people find the show. Dragon Reel would love to hear from our listeners. You can email us at dragonreelpodcast@gmail.com and follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/dragonreel. Join us on Twitter at twitter.com/dragonreel. If you want to comment directly on any episode of Dragon Reel, go over to our website, dragonreel.com, and leave us a comment. You can also give your rating of the movie yourself on our scale of 1 to 5 gold pieces. You know, the best way to enjoy the episode is to watch the movie with us, so while you're at our website, click our Amazon links to get your copy of the movie. If you go to Amazon from our site, you can buy anything on Amazon, and they will give us a few copper pieces to keep our show going. Our music is by Maggie Sansone and is used with permission. You can find this music and much more at maggiesmusic.com. Please join us again next episode.